when I'm preparing my sermons, I try to think of something with a little humor in it to make sure you're awake, you know, and you hear what's going on. Sometimes it's difficult to find something that's humorous that will fit in with the sermon. But somebody sent me an email this week that fit right in perfect with what our sermon is about today. The story is told of a little boy that was waiting for his mother to come out of the grocery store. And he was walking around outside the store, and he was approached by a man. And the man asked the little boy, says, "Son, can you tell me where the post office is?" The little boy replied, "Sure, just go straight down this way about two blocks and turn to your right." The man thanked the boy kindly and said, "By the way, I'm the new pastor at the church, and I'd like for you to come to church on Sunday, and I'll show you how to get to heaven." Little boy chuckled. He said, "You're kidding me, right?" He says, "You don't even know how to get to the post office." Appreciate that, Lon. Today we celebrate the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ ascended up to heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of God, our Father. And you can be assured, if you don't learn anything else today, that Christ knew his way to earth, he knew his way back to heaven, and he's coming back again. He knows his way around. The ascension of Christ is the consummation and the culminating point of Christ's redemptive work. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, and Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. "For it is fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, blameless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens." Now the main point in what we're saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and the true tent or tabernacle that the Lord has made. Not any mortal, he has set it up. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples and to many other people. The people were able to see the nail scars in the hands of Jesus. They saw the spear print in his side. They walked beside him on the road to Emmaus. And Luke tells us about all that Jesus began to do and to teach during this time in Luke chapter 24. Then on this particular day, 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus ascended back into the heavens from Bethany on the Mount of Olives. He didn't stumble around. He was talking to the disciples, and then he began to rise. And he arose up into the clouds, and the clouds received him into heaven. The things that Luke describes Jesus doing in his resurrected body, Jesus continues to do today, just like he did back then. But he does it through his new body, through us, because we are the body of Christ. When Christ died and was buried, and he arose, and he ascended into heaven, and we became the body of Christ by being his disciples. The book of Acts tells us that what he did, he continues to do today through us as believers. He continues to teach through this body of believers. He continues to bring people to Him through this body of believers. But you know, people today overall are kind of peculiar. They're like, I preached a few weeks ago about doubting Thomas. They want proof of what's fixing to happen before they'll accept it as being a fact. They want proof before they'll believe anything. If they were to win Publishers Clearing House, they would want proof that that $1 million check was good before they cashed it. There's always a doubt there. We want proof. We want to know when we trade cars that we're getting a good car. We want to know when we get out there and we pull that cord on that lawnmower. We want to know. We want to have proof that that thing's going to work. Christianity is based on historical facts. It's based on history. And it's impossible for us today to separate the Christ of faith from the historical Jesus, because they're the same. They're one and the same. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The Christ of faith is the Jesus of history. He lived a perfect life on earth in Jerusalem. He was crucified on the Roman cross, and He arose from the dead. This is historical fact. Jesus gave a commission to us before He ascended into heaven. Go and make disciples in all of the earth. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, that sounds simple enough. But let's look at that word witnesses. The word witness means to affirm that one has seen or heard or experience something. To tell what one has learned firsthand. I can't tell you how to ride a horse. I've never been on a horse. I was on a mule one time for about 2 seconds. But I can't tell you anything about that, because I have not witnessed that. I have not been a part of that. If you're a witness of something, it's something that you know about personally. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are a witness to God's saving grace. Nobody can't tell you that, oh, my burdens is lighter. I feel so good since I accepted Christ. You don't know anything about that if you have not accepted Him. But when you accept the love of Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life, you can be a witness. You can say, yes, I know, because I was burdened down in sin. But Jesus came in and lifted me up. And because of that, I am saved. I know what I'm talking about. Every time I say that, I think of Daniel's daddy. One of his favorite sayings was, I know what I'm talking about. And 99% of the time, folks, he did. And he didn't let you forget it, that he knew what he was talking about. And today we remember the ascension of Jesus into heaven. We find that there were eyewitnesses to this ascension. It didn't happen in some secluded place. It happened right out in front of everybody that was there, that they could stand there and say, I saw the Lord as he ascended into heaven. They knew what they were talking about. They were witnesses to this. Their eyes were fixed on him as he ascended into heaven. So there could be no mistake about an event that was this supernatural. I can't help but think, what are our eyes fixed on today? Are they fixed on Jesus Christ? Something to think about. When we think about the church and being disciples, are our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ as our example of what we're supposed to be seeing? As the onlookers were gazing into heaven, they were gazing intently at the Lord as he was rising into the clouds. And suddenly there was two men clothed in white that were standing there by them. And the men looked at him and says, "Men of Galilee, why are you looking into the sky?" And the next part of this verse is my favorite part. "This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come again in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Notice how closely that the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, and the second coming of Christ are related. The heavenly messenger tells these men from Galilee, the same Jesus would indeed come back in the same way that he had left. That same Jesus that ascended on Ascension Sunday 2,000 years ago is coming back. Christians all over the world have waited all of this time, waited and longed for the return of Christ. But it hasn't happened. So we tend to forget that he's coming back. That he is coming back. None of us know the date, nor the time, nor the hour. Only the Heavenly Father knows when Jesus is coming back. But you can rest assured that he is coming. One day this same Jesus will return in glory. Matthew 24:30 says, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds." Jesus said in John 16:7, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate or the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The advocate is the Holy Spirit. It is by means of the Holy Spirit indwelling within us that Jesus makes his life available to each of us so intimately and personally." You know, God is not a God that we come to church and pray to just on Sundays. But we can have a one-on-one personal relationship with Jesus Christ when it seems like every single thing in our life has turned totally upside down. And we have nobody that we can talk to. Nobody cares because everybody's wrapped up in their own little world, in their own little problems. We have that intimate, personal friend in Jesus Christ that we can talk to. You would not believe the testimonies that I have heard this past week about how that God has miraculously intervened in the lives of people. God cares about us. Jesus is our advocate. He's sitting at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. And don't ever doubt for one minute that he's not concerned about everything that touches our life. The ascension is the culmination or the grand finale of the glorification of Christ after the resurrection. It was necessary for him to be exalted in heaven as our high priest. In Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 66, as Stephen lay dying on the ground after having been stoned. If you don't remember, Stephen was the first martyr mentioned in the Bible. But here's Stephen laying on the ground, dying. Verse 55 says, "But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 'Look,' he said, 'I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" The Apostle Paul wrote in a letter to the Romans in chapter 8, verses 34, "Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us." If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, today, and believe that he has made you pure by his grace, and now that he's sitting down at the right hand of God the Father, you believed that he also has interceded for you. To me, the ascension of Christ is not complete without talking about him interceding for us. Let me explain about intercession. Imagine, if you will, that God is the judge in our trial for our sins. Let's step into the courtroom of our imagination and see what's taking place. In Job, the second chapter, verses 1, "One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, the accuser, came with them." So according to this scene, Satan is our prosecuting attorney. Jesus is our defense attorney. According to Romans 8:34, he intercedes for us. Just think of it, my friends. Jesus Christ is our defense attorney. When Satan accuses us before God, Jesus says, "I'm here for you." Satan says, "Now God, just look. You know Karen didn't do what was right. She said something that was wrong. She misquoted something. She was like some lady I know that misspoke." Karen didn't do what she was supposed to do. She was wrong. She sinned. Satan's saying that about every single one of us. He's saying, "Daniel, you sinned. Tina, you sinned. We've all sinned." But you know, immediately, Jesus stands before this judge, who just happens to be his father. He says, "Father, I object. Karen is my sister. She's my child. I paid the price for her, and she accepted me as her personal Savior." And the judge, God the Father, turns around and he looks dead at Satan. He bangs his gavel down on the podium and he says, "Case dismissed." Because of the ascension of Jesus Christ today, we have a high priest. Jesus Christ himself defends us. He defends me. He defends each one of you. Yeah, we sin. Yeah, we make mistakes. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what Jesus is all about. That love, that forgiveness. When Jesus comes back in the same way that he left, those who know him as their personal Savior will rise to meet him in the air. Their court case has been settled already by grace. But those who don't know him today, those who have rejected him, will be required to make that court appearance. You won't know what your court date is. Only God the Father knows. It could be any time, even today. We could all stand before Jesus Christ today. Is he going to intercede for us? Is our name going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you've not asked Jesus to be your intercessor today, there's no better time than right now. You won't have time to hire a defense attorney. And there's no better attorney to defend you than Jesus Christ through his blood. Maybe you asked Jesus to forgive you years ago, but you strayed. A lot of things have happened that caused you to move away from Christ, or maybe you were hurt so bad. Maybe in the church, maybe on your job, whatever. But you were hurt so bad that you decided that I don't want any part of this church stuff. Maybe you fired your attorney. But he remembers you. And all you have to do today is ask him to come into your heart and soul and forgive you of your sins, and to become your intercessor forever. Today is a day of salvation. Perhaps you may need to rededicate your life or accept him for the first time as your personal Savior. Today is the day. Amen.